Welcome to this program from the Hospice Foundation of America. Hospice volunteers make a significant contribution to hospice programs, guided by trained volunteer coordinators and other hospice professionals. What leads people to become hospice volunteers? What do hospice volunteers do? What are some creative ways to recruit volunteers to your hospice program? And what should hospices consider when training and retaining volunteers? Before we talk more about hospice volunteers, let's talk briefly about hospice care. Hospice is a special form of medical care that provides comfort and support to patients and their families when a life-limiting illness no longer responds to cure-oriented treatments. Hospice care is provided by a team-oriented group of professionals and volunteers who offer a unique knowledge of end-of-life care, including pain management and palliative care. Hospice addresses all symptoms of a disease, with a special emphasis on controlling a patient's pain and discomfort. Hospice deals with the emotional, social, and spiritual impact of the disease on the patient and the patient's family and friends. Hospice offers bereavement and counseling services to families before and after a patient's death. For the most part, hospice services are delivered in a patient's home, whether they live in their own homes, an assisted living or retirement facility, or a nursing home. Some hospices have inpatient units or their own freestanding facility where care is provided in a home-like setting. The majority of hospice care is paid for by Medicare and Medicaid. The Hospice Foundation of America has an in-depth program called Understanding Hospice that talks more about hospice care and the Medicare hospice benefit. We encourage you to visit www.hospicefoundation.org/infocenter if you want to learn more about what hospice can offer. This free online program can also be a useful tool for training volunteers or educating your community. Volunteers have always been an essential component of hospice care. In fact, the hospice movement in the U.S. was started by volunteers, people who wanted to help bring comfort, dignity, and support to the patients and families who were affected by life-limiting illness. And now, according to the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, or NHPCO, more than 460,000 hospice volunteers deliver more than 20 million hours of service annually. How do you define a hospice volunteer? As the Hospice Volunteer Association so eloquently notes, through a compassionate connection with the dying person, their presence often becomes an important element in that person's final journey, bearing witness to dying and death. And how are most hospice volunteers introduced to this important role? Almost 60% of hospice volunteers report that their personal experience with hospice or that of a friend led them to become a volunteer. Other individuals are moved by stories of hospice patients or inspired by the work of other hospice volunteers or professionals and want to give back in some way. Alex Silva shares his story.
I started out as a hospice volunteer because hospice took care of my grandfather, and I saw the care and compassion that they offered and the great relief that the volunteers offered to my family, and I wanted to be a part of that.
Mr. Silva now works for a hospice program, recruiting and training other hospice volunteers. Potential hospice volunteers need to know that many opportunities are available to contribute in a meaningful way. Some volunteers may be comfortable being present with individuals who are dying and with their loved ones, while others may be more suited to offer skills in other ways. Volunteers offer support to the hospice team. This professional team usually consists of a physician, nurse, social worker, chaplain, home health aides, and therapists. Volunteers help this professional team by assisting patients and families in providing emotional support and companionship, performing tasks such as running errands and transportation, offering respite care for loved ones and caregivers, reading books or writing letters, playing games and telling stories, or playing music or singing, or just helping with light household tasks. In addition to direct patient care, volunteers can provide important administrative assistance to the hospice, such as answering the phone, preparing educational materials and completing mailings, helping with computer and website functions, or fundraising. Gail, a hospice volunteer in Maryland, talks about how she contributes to her local hospice.
As a volunteer for my hospice, I work primarily on maintaining the website, getting out new information about events. I work with the marketing people who are designing brochures to make sure the information's consistent and that we're getting out a really great message to the public and that we're presenting a good image to our clients who might want to use our services.
Many hospices develop a core of specialty volunteers who have a background or talents that help in unique ways. Bereavement volunteers provide calls and visits to survivors and assist with memorial services and support groups. Complementary therapy volunteers are skilled at massage, art or music therapy, and journaling. Education and outreach volunteers speak to the community on topics related to end-of-life or hospice care. Craft volunteers make items such as blankets or memory bears. Pet therapy volunteers have screened and trained animals that provide socialization, comfort, and joyful memories. Volunteers who served in the military can bring a special knowledge about military life and culture to dying vets and their families. Spiritual care volunteers support patients and their families with needs that arise at the end of life, such as meaning-making and life review. Telephone volunteers check in with patients and their families or make supportive phone calls to bereaved persons. And vigil care volunteers choose to be present with patients and families in the last hours of a patient's life. Many hospices use student interns as volunteers to assist the hospice team, patients, and families as part of their educational requirements. Hospices utilize the services of high school and college students completing community service hours, social work, nursing, and other students at the college and graduate school level, as well as administrative and clerical students. Here's what a youth volunteer named Juno shares about his experience.
As a teen volunteer, I basically go to a patient's home either for just talking or just celebrating a birthday party for them, because everyone loves a birthday party, and actually a lot of patients tell me that it's their first birthday party and they're just really happy about the day. Lots of times I just go there, talk, see how they are, and I just hear the most exciting life stories because these people have lived a long time and they kind of impart their knowledge on what they've seen throughout their whole life onto me. And it's fun for me and it's probably very relieving for them to kind of just have someone different to talk to.
From patient and family assistance to hospice program support and even the potential to share talents and skills as a specialty volunteer, all of these roles are vital to hospice patients, their loved ones, and hospice programs. But volunteering doesn't just help the hospice program. While the rewards of being a hospice volunteer are often intangible, they should be considered by hospices when recruiting and training volunteers. Research by Kovacs and Black has outlined 6 rewards of being a hospice volunteer, which include benefiting one's career, boosting self-esteem by giving of yourself to others, strengthening compassion for others, increasing connection to others, reinforcing values, and adding knowledge and skills. In addition to being a rewarding experience for the volunteer, a successful hospice volunteer program offers great benefits to the hospice program and the families they serve by expanding the range and quality of services the hospice can offer. Providing a hospice team member who can take extra time with a patient and family. Offering the patient and family a person who can be supportive during a difficult time. Allowing staff to focus on clinical patient care and building supportive relationships. A strong hospice volunteer program can also demonstrate to referral sources that the hospice is committed to using a variety of resources to increase quality of life, provide cost savings to the organization, and provide another advocate for hospice services in the community. In hospices that receive Medicare dollars, volunteers are considered an integral part of care. Medicare regulations state that hospices certified by Medicare must use volunteers in defined roles and under the supervision of a designated hospice employee. More specifically, the federal regulations state that the hospice must maintain, document, and provide volunteer orientation and training that is consistent with hospice industry standards. Volunteers must be used in day-to-day administrative or direct patient care roles. The hospice must document and demonstrate viable and ongoing efforts to recruit and retain volunteers. And the hospice must document the cost savings achieved through the use of volunteers. This documentation must include the identification of each position that is occupied by a volunteer, the work time spent by volunteers occupying those positions, and an estimation of the dollar costs that the hospice would have incurred if paid employees occupied the positions. Volunteers must provide day-to-day administrative or direct patient care services in an amount that, at a minimum, equals 5% of the total patient care hours of all paid hospice employees and contract staff. Along with these regulations, Medicare has guidelines called the Medicare Conditions of Participation, or COPs, that must be followed by a compliant hospice program in order to continue to receive funding. One of the 24 conditions that a hospice must meet in order to receive Medicare funding is that at least 5% of total hours of patient care be delivered by volunteers. We strongly encourage hospices and staff to consult the Medicare COPs at www.cms.gov. The COPs are requirements for hospices to follow in order to receive Medicare reimbursement. CMS has an online hospice center that houses helpful information for consumers and providers about hospice, the Medicare hospice benefit, and developing hospice programs at www.cms.gov/center/hospice. Each state also has its own hospice regulations and state statutes. In the case of volunteer services, they often mirror the federal regulations. Although there are many regulations governing the use of hospice volunteers, there are no specific age requirements for hospice volunteering. Most preteens and adolescents work as administrative volunteers in the hospice office. Case-by-case consideration should be given as to whether a teenager age 15 through 18 should visit a hospice patient. Volunteering can be an extremely powerful experience for young people. Here's how it impacted teen volunteer Juno.
Hospice is one of the most rewarding experiences, maybe perhaps in my whole life, because you know that you're making a difference in that patient's life. Even though it might be for 30 minutes, for an hour, for a week, you know that that patient has happiness for those moments you spend with them.
That sincere description highlights two important qualities for all hospice volunteers: compassion and commitment. But how do potential volunteers begin? Many start by contacting a local hospice program. Hospice Foundation of America has an online directory at www.hospicedirectory.org that can help potential volunteers find hospices in their area. Often the first point of contact for volunteers is a hospice volunteer manager who coordinates the volunteer program and provides information about volunteer opportunities. After the initial contact, the screening process usually starts with an application and an interview. Potential volunteers should demonstrate the capacity for empathy, sensitivity, respect, and unconditional acceptance for all hospice patients and their loved ones. When screening and interviewing potential volunteers, hospices also consider these questions. What are the applicant's skills, aptitudes, motivation, and interests? And how do these skills and needs match with those of the hospice? Is the volunteer receptive to the hospice philosophy? Does he or she have a degree of comfort with dying, death, and loss? Does the volunteer seem mature and in good emotional health? Does the volunteer's motivation to assist terminally ill persons and their families seem to be focused on those people, not on the volunteer's own needs? What is the volunteer's own sense of spirituality or faith? How does the applicant feel about working with patients that may be of a different race, religion, or lifestyle than his or her own? is the volunteer willing to complete the orientation process and other requirements, such as annual health tests and evaluations, ongoing in-services, and timely completion of volunteer notes? Does the volunteer have time in his or her personal schedule to adequately provide services? Has the volunteer made a healthy adjustment to significant losses in his or her own life? If the volunteer had a recent loss or has a loved one who is seriously ill, the hospice will generally suggest waiting until the crisis has passed. It is critical that hospice volunteers have been able to cope with their own grief and loss before volunteering to help hospice patients and families. Before a hospice volunteer can begin, a background and reference check, tuberculosis testing and health screening, and the completion of required forms is finalized. Most hospices design their own orientation programs for hospice volunteer training. This training serves as a crucial bridge between volunteers gaining knowledge and skills and actually working with hospice patients, families, and professionals. Good training prepares volunteers for their roles and instills confidence that they can fulfill those roles. Medicare regulations state that hospices must maintain, document, and provide volunteer orientation and training that is consistent with hospice industry standards. The Medicare guidelines specify that volunteer training should be specific to the tasks performed. Time spent in providing quality training will strengthen hospice volunteer retention and encourage referrals of new volunteers. Generally, volunteer orientation mirrors staff orientation to some degree and might include discussions of such topics as organizational areas, such as the history and philosophy of hospice, the role of the hospice interdisciplinary team, and hospice regulations and policies. Training might also include discussions of direct patient care, including the psychosocial, spiritual, and emotional needs of patients and families, and how to communicate with them in a healthy, supportive manner. Communication with the hospice team will also be discussed. Other subjects that might be included could be a discussion of ethical issues, advance directives, and issues of both patient safety and volunteer self-care. The training will also likely cover the documentation and other administrative requirements expected of the volunteer in fulfilling his or her role. Some hospices may also include a focus on specific compliance areas, covering training in the Health Insurance Privacy and Portability Act, or HIPAA, and information from the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, OSHA. Federal guidelines require that training specific to a defined task be provided for those volunteers whose assignment is something other than what is discussed during orientation. For instance, administrative volunteers need to be oriented to the office and shown the tasks they will perform, and hospice inpatient unit volunteers should be oriented to the unit. After the initial training, ongoing education is necessary to maintain and improve the volunteer's competence. Federal regulations stipulate that ongoing educational opportunities be provided, including an annual review of HIPAA, OSHA, and compliance with other federal and state requirements. One of the essential components of hospice volunteer training is learning about what patients experience at the end of life. Hospice volunteers are introduced to different types of distress that people may experience at the end of life, including physical, emotional, and spiritual. The Hospice Foundation of America has excellent training resources available to help educate volunteers about how to help and support hospice patients and families. One publication focusing on the dying process provides a guide to what many people experience when dying and what caregivers might expect. This free resource is available at www.hospicefoundation.org. HFA's Hospice Information Center has free videos and programs which can be used to train hospice volunteers who are interested in learning about special topics in end-of-life care. Hospice staff and volunteers can visit www.hospicefoundation.org/infocenter to learn more about how hospice care can support those coping with cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and family caregiving. Other programs look at how hospice supports veterans, those living in rural areas, and the challenges of aging and end-of-life care in the LGBT community, All of these resources are free to individuals or organizations and can complement any hospice volunteer training program. Once hospices have completed the initial volunteer training, how do hospices retain talented and valued volunteers? This is a challenge, but there are some successful strategies. One of the key elements in retaining volunteers is identifying the volunteer's motivation and then placing that person in roles that meet those motivational needs. One study identified common reasons for continued hospice volunteerism. These included a belief in the hospice mission, an opportunity for personal or professional growth, being able to feel needed, feeling supported by and connected to the hospice staff, being able to share death experiences. Alex Silva supervises hospice volunteers in San Diego and talks here about how he ensures that he has a strong volunteer program.
Once the volunteer comes aboard, it's up to the manager to make sure they remain aboard. At my hospice, our retention efforts focus on four areas. Supervision. I make sure the volunteer has a clear understanding of what's expected. I deal with their concerns or mine in a timely and professional manner. Communication. I encourage volunteers to ask me questions and make suggestions. I make sure they know their ideas are valued. Recognition. When my volunteer does a good job, I want him or her to know it. In fact, I want everyone to know it. Our hospice has a formal recognition program for volunteers as well as staff, and I make good use of it. And appreciation, which I see as a personal expression of thanks to the volunteer. Sometimes I say a few words privately, sometimes I send a short note or a greeting card, and sometimes I have the great pleasure of sharing a note that we've received from a grateful family.
The areas that Mr. Silva describes are all elements of a successful hospice volunteer program. A hospice volunteer program is most effective with strong leadership. A volunteer manager, also called a volunteer coordinator, leader, or director, is usually the designated staff person who provides supervision and support to hospice volunteers. In some cases, she or he will be managing more individuals than any other manager in the office. The best tools for ensuring accountability and follow-through with volunteers are good organization, communication, and support from program staff. Success also depends upon the volunteer manager's ability to positively influence others. The volunteer manager should have experience working with volunteers in some capacity and should have skills in educating and motivating others. Motivating people who are not paid to do what they do is a challenge. The best volunteer managers have a can-do personality and strong social skills. The tasks of a hospice volunteer manager can include recruiting and screening volunteers, educating, supervising, and evaluating volunteers to meet hospice, state, and other accreditation standards, identifying patient and family needs that can be met with volunteers, and matching the best volunteer to this task, advocating for the integration of volunteers into the interdisciplinary team, and communicating with other team members, showing interest in hearing about a volunteer's personal life, as well as about the patients and families he or she is visiting, developing a volunteer advisory board to give selected volunteers additional input, encouraging ongoing retention of volunteers through recognition, education, and support, and developing ongoing evaluation strategies for the volunteer program. In order for a volunteer program to be compliant with CMS and other guidelines, an effective volunteer manager maintains accurate volunteer personnel files. The volunteer file should mirror the hospice employee file and might include documents such as information about the volunteer. This could include contact information, previous volunteer and employment experience, personal references, languages spoken, availability, and areas of interest. Other documents might include copies of the volunteer's driver's license, identification card, auto insurance, and any professional certifications. The volunteer file should also include documents related to the volunteer's assignments, including proof that the volunteer attended and completed orientation, a job description that clearly lists the various roles served, and a signed copy of a volunteer confidentiality statement. As the volunteer continues working, documents will be added to the file, such as assessment forms. These will include a volunteer competency assessment completed before the volunteer's first assignment, as well as annual evaluation and competency forms. If the volunteer is under age 18, the file will need to include a minor volunteer permission form and any other forms or certificates required by state law. A separate file containing volunteer health information must be maintained and should include a health screening form or physical examination documentation, which lists any communicable diseases or physical limitations, tuberculosis test results per protocol, and updated pet vaccinations, if applicable. The volunteer manager should also maintain proof of ongoing recruitment and retention activities, proof that the 5% standard required by Medicare is being met, and proof of ongoing in-service trainings. Records showing the dates and duration of the volunteer's visits and the type of volunteer activity performed should be kept for each year. Beyond individual record-keeping and supervision, hospice volunteer leaders continually work to develop and expand their volunteer program. One good way to start this process is by assessing the needs of the hospice program, which includes interviewing key agency staff to identify the various roles volunteers can fill, any specialty volunteer projects, and staff members who can advocate for volunteers. After completing the needs assessment, a hospice volunteer coordinator can consider the hospice requests and match volunteers accordingly. Based on the needs of the hospice and knowledge of the community, a volunteer coordinator can develop recruitment tools to reach new volunteers. Community exposure and outreach are primary to successful volunteer recruitment. Outreach activities have a positive impact on patient referrals and admissions. Here are some ways that hospices promote volunteer opportunities and training events. Call leaders in community organizations, such as employers, professional and civic associations, and faith communities. Many organizations welcome the opportunity to inform their members or employees about volunteer opportunities. Send brochures with a cover letter and follow up with a phone call. Place posters on bulletin boards in community agencies or local businesses, such as senior centers, grocery stores, libraries, and churches. Utilize internet volunteer services, such as www.volunteersmatch.org, Volunteers of America at www.voa.org, or local volunteer programs. Contact media outlets, including newspapers, community publications, and radio and TV stations, to promote volunteer opportunities. Consider running public service announcements for hospice volunteers. Provide information about hospice volunteering to support groups. After survivors have had time to cope with their own bereavement, many people choose to volunteer for hospice because of their own family's experience. But the most proven method to generate interest and commitment from potential volunteers is the old-fashioned way, one-on-one interaction. As we've discussed, people are often drawn to hospice volunteering for very personal reasons. When a hospice leader or professional talks about hospice services and volunteer opportunities at a community group function, or when current volunteers and staff spread the word to their family and friends about their own experiences, other volunteers can become just as enthusiastic about hospice. Another opportunity to be face-to-face with a welcoming audience is to participate in community fairs and events. Groups often schedule programs at malls, community and senior centers, faith communities, or local convention centers. Many hospices find it helpful to give away presents and useful tools customized with key message points and information. Targeted recruitment can be conducted for specific groups or used if the hospice needs to find volunteers with specific skills. To reach older adults, hospices can consider contacting a local office of Senior Corps, which runs the Retired Senior Volunteer Program, or RSVP, as one of its three volunteer networks. You can visit www.seniorcorps.gov to find state and local information about recruiting older adult volunteers. Other organizations could include senior centers and retirement communities, or local and state AARP chapters. Visit www.volunteer.aarp.org for more information. Hospices can recruit student interns and volunteers from high school and college career fairs and field placement offices, vocational and professional schools, sororities and fraternities, and Boy or Girl Scout troops. Many organizations are now turning to social media outlets. For instance, Facebook's Causes page at www.facebook.com/causes, which has a volunteer capacity tool. Along with strong training, retention, and recruitment efforts, another key to a successful volunteer program is assigning volunteers to patients and families in a timely, organized, and supportive fashion. This is especially important after the conclusion of orientation, as new volunteers are generally anxious for their first assignment. Some hospices will send new volunteers out with more experienced team members or current volunteers for their first patient visit. Many considerations go into assigning a volunteer to a patient, including the type of service desired by the patient and family, special patient requests, such as a preference for a male or female volunteer, and the preferences of the volunteer. Often, once a patient and volunteer are matched, all relevant details of the assignment are shared with the volunteer, the patient and family, and the team. It is ideal to have a team member, usually the social worker or nurse, contact the volunteer before the first visit. If the request cannot be filled right away, the volunteer manager must notify the team, so a team member can be assigned to fill the need until a volunteer is identified. Extra support is suggested following the volunteer's first visit and in special circumstances, such as after attendance at a death, or when dealing with challenging family dynamics. The volunteer manager should offer the volunteer an opportunity to debrief by talking about the experience. Some hospices also run support groups for their volunteers. The volunteer coordinator interacts with both the volunteers and the hospice staff. It is crucial that the volunteer manager communicate about the volunteer services program to the team and to any new employees. Facilitating ongoing communication allows team members to understand not only what volunteers are responsible for doing, but why it is important to maintain a quality volunteer program. Effective hospice volunteer coordinators let their enthusiasm for volunteerism and for their volunteers become contagious. By sharing compelling volunteer and patient stories and talking up the program, the volunteer leader reminds the team about the important support these volunteers bring to the hospice. Volunteer leaders can inform the hospice teams about volunteer availability in their area and can describe the volunteers' interests. Team requests for volunteers should be processed as quickly as possible. Team meetings can be a great way to promote the volunteer program, ensuring that the team is aware of what volunteers are doing and gaining feedback from team members. In any communication with staff, the volunteer coordinator should hear any concerns and address them appropriately. Hospice professionals play an important role in their collaboration and relationships with volunteers by identifying and referring appropriate volunteer requests to the volunteer manager, calling volunteers to update them on the patient's condition and to share their appreciation of the volunteer, accompanying volunteers to their first visit, if possible, to help allay fears that the volunteer may have. This gesture helps the volunteer feel like part of the team. The team members can help the patient and family understand what role the volunteer might play in their care. Hospice professionals will develop and write a plan of care for volunteer services, including volunteer interventions and frequency, and change the plan of care as needed. Team members may review volunteer notes at team meetings and participate in volunteer evaluations as requested, and can provide volunteers with timely feedback and even expressions of appreciation from the patient and family. In addition to this connection with the team members, volunteers need ongoing guidance, support, and on-the-job training. Supervision helps volunteers maintain interest and enthusiasm. Supervisors should get to know their volunteers and understand how to motivate them and should include follow-up, recognition, and support comparable to paid staff supervision. Good supervision includes optimizing a volunteer's performance, which can begin by simply reviewing the job description and performance expectations with the volunteer, and giving clear instructions about the tasks to be performed. This process helps the volunteer understand why his or her particular tasks and positions are important. Informing volunteers about how much decision-making power they have when performing their tasks, and being available when the volunteer has questions or concerns. Checking in with a volunteer once she or he has had the opportunity to work on the task for a while, to ensure that they have the resources they need to be successful. Showing gratitude for the volunteer's help always goes a long way to supporting volunteers. But even with all of these suggestions, there are challenges in managing volunteers, just as there are with managing staff. Some of the issues a volunteer coordinator or hospice staff might encounter with managing volunteers could be that the volunteer does not turn in timely volunteer notes or required documents, writes inappropriate volunteer notes, does not communicate with the team or volunteer leader, is inappropriate with patients, families, or staff, is not dependable, or becomes over-involved or crosses boundaries. Before a hospice volunteer coordinator takes action, it is important to assess whether any of the following circumstances contributed to the problem. Was the volunteer unclear about his or her assignment, or what she or he can or cannot do? Was there something he or she either missed or misunderstood during orientation? Is this an especially challenging patient and family, or a difficult work situation? Does the volunteer feel disconnected from the team or volunteer leader? Or was the volunteer asked to do something that he or she lacks skills in? Any concerns should always be addressed in a timely and appropriate manner. Volunteer evaluations are another important element of supervision. Assessing volunteers is an important way of maintaining quality volunteer services. The process also allows the volunteer leader and volunteers to review their accomplishments and challenges of the year and establish goals together for the following year. Evaluations should generally be positive and upbeat unless there is cause for concern. Ideally, any significant concerns should have been addressed prior to the evaluation. In addition to the evaluation process, volunteer support and recognition is imperative. This demonstrates that hospices care about their volunteers, which in turn helps motivate their work. Due to the nature of hospice work, volunteers are likely to need more support than other types of volunteers. They should be encouraged to utilize the resources the program provides, including ongoing supervision and positive interaction with the interdisciplinary team. Appropriate recognition of people who donate their time and talents is a vital ingredient of a volunteer program's success. Recognition is essential for retention, and frequent praise for well-deserved efforts will enhance the volunteer's experience. Recognition is most effective when given in a peer group setting, and enhanced when given immediately after good service is performed. It is important to match the method of recognition to the needs of the volunteer, and to recognize genuine achievement and all volunteers who achieve. Here are some creative ways that volunteer leaders show recognition for the contributions of volunteers. Schedule a formal volunteer recognition event at least once per year, possibly during National Volunteer Week in April. Nominate volunteers for national and local volunteer recognition programs, and present special recognitions to teen, administrative, and patient volunteers. Recognize the volunteer's birthday or anniversary by calling or sending a card. Encourage hospice teams to invite volunteers to events that promote team spirit, or to write notes of appreciation to volunteers. Invite all volunteers to the staff holiday party and other hospice employee events. Create annual programs that award volunteers who achieve certain standards and achievements, such as the greatest number of hours per quarter or year. Communicating with volunteers on a regular basis provides a great opportunity for support. Some hospices produce a volunteer newsletter. This newsletter can include patient and family stories or thank yous, special mention of certain volunteers, or articles on volunteering. The newsletter can also be distributed to program staff and highlight teams, team managers, and individual team members who support and recognize volunteers. Other hospices hang a volunteer bulletin board in the hospice office with similar information. Letting the community know about hospice volunteers is a great way to recruit other volunteers and show appreciation for current volunteers. Press releases can be sent to local media for Volunteer of the Quarter or other recognitions, and stories about volunteers or volunteer groups can also be sent out. Hospices across the U.S. rely on volunteers to provide compassionate care and vital administrative support. Volunteers in hospice find it personally gratifying, intellectually stimulating, and emotionally meaningful to assist those in need at a critical point in their lives. Many of these volunteers were introduced to hospice through the death of a family member and understand firsthand the value of hospice care. Hospice volunteers consistently report that helping the terminally ill through hospice is not about dying, but about living. As Elaine, a hospice volunteer, says,
I know I have made a difference, at least in one person's life at this point. And I know it's toward the end of their life, but that makes it all more important.
Hospice Volunteers, Recruiting, Retaining, Rewarding, was developed by Robin Fiorelli, LCSW, Senior Director of Bereavement and Volunteer Services for VITAS Healthcare Corporation. Additional writing was provided by Karen Walsh, HFA Social Worker, and Lisa McGahey-Veglin, HFA Program Officer. Additional assistance was provided by Lindsay Curran. Our executive producer is Amy Tucci, President and CEO of the Hospice Foundation of America. The Hospice Foundation of America has more information on hospice care, grief and loss, caregiving, and end-of-life issues available at the Hospice Information Center at www.hospicefoundation.org/infocenter. We encourage hospice volunteers and professionals to check out these free programs for educational purposes or training. You can also call toll-free at 800-854-3402. This program was made possible by a grant from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. In addition to this presentation, the CMS grant funds a variety of outreach and educational programs and materials available from the Hospice Foundation of America. I'm Roberta Solomon. Thank you for joining us. If you're interested in receiving free continuing education credits, go to https://educate.hospicefoundation.org and use this code, CVOLH.